Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to this week's broadcast. I am so excited to get into this thing because we're going to start getting into the meat of this series. I know up until this point in time, you may have thought, well, what's all of this got to do with hearing the voice of God or knowing the voice of God? Or even more strange, what's this got to do with experiencing the voice of God? Well, that's where we're going today. We're going to be talking about experiencing the voice of God. Now listen, before we jump in the program, email your friends. Tell them about this message. Put a post on Facebook. Do everything you can to help us multiply this message. You know, I was just looking at the message that we did from just a couple of weeks ago, and over 100,000 people looked at the post on this message. And this means you're doing your job. You're sharing this with other people. So do everything you can to multiply this, because I want to tell you something. We are entering into a time that I want to make sure everybody I know and everybody you know can know, hear, experience, and follow the voice of God. Like I said, this week we're talking about experiencing the voice of God. You know, when I was putting this series together, I was talking to some of my friends about it, and they were just talking about how vitally important it was for people to hear the voice of God. And as I prayed about it, and as I reflected on what God was speaking to me, I knew that we couldn't just use that kind of title, hearing the voice of God, because then you'll misunderstand what this is all about. You see, I want you to realize something. When we hear the word hearing, we think about something intellectual. We think about hearing words like we hear in our ears whenever people speak to us. Now, I want you to realize, so many people disqualify themselves from being able to hear the voice of God because they are expecting to hear a literal voice. Now, what I'm about to say to you, I've had people just try to argue me down on this point, but you've got to understand something. When God speaks in your heart, and it's important that you understand that He doesn't speak in your brain, He speaks in your heart. And when God speaks in your heart, He speaks to you, and you receive it really as more of a concept or more of an intuitive knowledge. And then with your mind, you put that intuitive knowledge into words. And the words that you give it are your own words. They're not necessarily God's words. Now, I'm not saying that it would never happen, that God would never speak to you and literally, you know, tell you certain words. But because I know sometimes I'll even hear one word and then I'll realize the concept behind that word. But by and large, when God speaks to us, it's always going to be a concept. It's always going to be an idea. It's always going to come to us intuitively. Then we are going to put words to it. Now, this is why it's so important to renew our mind. And we must renew our mind based on what Jesus did at the cross. Because when we get an intuitive impression from God, when we get this intuitive knowledge from God, we are going to interpret it and we're going to put words to it based on what our intellectual mind says is right. In other words, based on the theology or the doctrine that we have accepted. You know, I remember years ago, there was a man that greatly influenced my life. I mean, to this day, I just can't thank him enough. Back in the early days, back in the 70s, when I wasn't telling anybody about what I was doing as far as meditating and reflecting and pondering and how I would wait on the Lord in a meditative, prayerful way. Because, boy, you just didn't hear this stuff. Nobody ever talked about this stuff. And this man was the only other man in the world that even talked about this remotely. And he was the most successful pastor in the world. His name was Dr. Paul Younghee Cho. And one of the things I admired about Dr. Cho, he was an evangelist man. He won the lost. He built a great church. There were just so many things I respected about him. But I was so excited to discover that he knew that the secret to hearing God's voice, even back then, was to have a life of meditation and contemplation and waiting on or wrapping yourself around God. And he understood how sanctification worked. I mean, he didn't use that terminology, but he understood that you had to have time alone with God. But it's really, really interesting. As much as I respected him, I heard him say this one time. He said that he had built his church up to several thousand people, and he said then he had heart trouble because he did everything himself. He did all the baptizing, did all the weddings, he did all the church services. He did everything himself, and basically he collapsed pretty much with heart problems and would have died if he'd kept on trying to do everything himself. So It was there that he developed the cell group ministry. And the cell group ministry, of course, came to America and has been around ever since the early 70s, and really is a throwback to the book of Acts and how that church has to meet in homes as well as in public to be effective. And when you're pastoring a mega church, if you don't have cell groups or home groups or small groups, it's almost impossible for people to stay connected. Well, Dr. Paul Young and Cho pioneered all that. So here he is. At that time, he's one of my heroes in the faith. He's somebody that I deeply admire, and he's telling this story. And I'm in Seoul, Korea, listening to him tell this story. And he says, that God gave him the cell group ministry, and so he realized that God allowed him to have a heart disease so that he would finally turn around and develop a cell group ministry. Now, that's the perfect example of a person attaching their intellectual concepts to something that God probably didn't say. Because number one, God doesn't make us sick. God doesn't lead us anything that makes us live in stress or to have to strive. And secondly, when you use the word allow, that's like God giving permission for something to happen. God will not give permission for anything to happen that contradicts the cross of Christ. But we can give permission. You see, the life that he lived, of thinking he had to do it all, of wearing himself out physically, that's what caused him to have heart disease. Well, out of that heart disease, when he finally reached the end of himself, he was finally willing to hear God's voice or to receive what God was saying to him. And unfortunately, he attached his own doctrine to it or interpreted it. And that's what we do. So many times, God shows us something, and then we have to interpret it so that we can still protect our doctrine, still protect our insecurities, still protect our ego, you know, by being right. And I'm not trying to put Dr. Cho down. I'll tell you, I still value and appreciate what I learned from him so very, very much. But my point is this. You see, the word hear is not necessarily just a word that talks about hearing with the ears, because the word hear is also translated as hearken, obey. So to hear God's voice is really to notice it, it's to perceive it, it's to hearken to it, and it's to obey it. So when the Bible talks about hearing God's voice, it's not just saying, hear this with your ears. It's talking about perceive what God is saying, grasp what God is saying, but it's also saying hearken to and obey what God is saying. Now, Jesus told us in the book of Matthew, whenever he was teaching in parables, it sounds like that he's teaching about predestination, because he talks about the reason he gives things in parables. And it sounds like he's saying that God doesn't want some people to know, but that's not the case at all. Instead, Jesus says, he goes on and explains, he says, they have closed their ears, they have closed their eyes, they have, you know, hardened their heart, lest they hear, perceive, understand, and have to change. Now, you see, I want you to realize something. We are not willing to hear the thing that's going to make us change our point of view or change how we do things unless we have first resolved this issue that we talked about last week, the Lordship of Jesus. You see, much of why we don't hear God or perceive God or recognize God is because we're afraid of what he'll say to us. We're afraid he's going to take us somewhere bad. You know, the psalmist said, I hear your voice because you lead me to safety and you lead me to peace. You see, when you know that God is good, and when you know that God is only good, you're never afraid of what he's going to say to you. Now, you go back to the garden, and I'm telling you, I research what happened with the fall of man on a regular basis. Nearly every year, I see something new that I didn't see before as I go back and study this and meditate on it and ponder it. And year after year, God unfolds. And see, the more I understand about what happened at the fall of man, the more I understand what we recovered through the Lord Jesus. And the more I understand how the world got where it is, the more I understand how to help people. Now, in the book of Genesis, I think it's Genesis 6:3, after man has fallen, Or no, I think Genesis 6:3 is where he talks about becoming flesh, where man has become flesh. In the book of Genesis, after man has fallen, God wants to come back and fellowship with man. You know, that's phenomenal to me. You see, when God is calling out to you, if you think he's there to hurt you, if you think he's there to tell you something hard, if you think he's there to beat you up, you will not hearken to his voice. In fact, you will harden your heart to his voice. Now, we know that God speaks to us in our heart. We also know that when our heart beats, it sends a signal that goes into our brain. And I want you to know, you had a heart before you had a brain. And you're a living soul, not because you have a brain, but because you have a heart. But we also realize that the moment we pass a judgment, the moment we make up our mind about something, we have this little bundle of nerves back here called the reticular activating system. And the reticular activating system goes into this selective processing that filters out anything that contradicts our opinion, anything that contradicts our judgment. And if we don't remain open, then we will literally filter out what God is saying to us. We'll block it out. We won't hear it. And we also know that what the Bible calls the hardening of the heart, it's when we harden ourselves to what's happening in our heart so that the voice of God never reaches our understanding. It never gets into our mind in a way that we can put words to it and comprehend what it's really saying. So I can't emphasize enough what I said to you last week. Until you have surrendered to Jesus as Lord, I mean, absolutely, I've made up my mind. I'm dying to self, and every day that I'm alive, every day that I recognize the problems in my life, the limitations of my life, every time I recognize something about my life that is outside of who I am in Jesus, I am giving it up because I'm not going to limit God in my life. And I'm going to tell you something. The only way you can do that is when you know, feel, and believe, and recognize that God is good, he's only good, he's always good. You know, God uses his goodness and kindness to draw us to repentance. Now, the only thing I need to repent over are the things that are destroying my life. That's all. The only thing I need to repent over, which means to change my mind. So I'm not talking about groveling. I'm not talking about shame. I'm not talking about where you beat yourself up and condemn yourself. I'm talking about where you recognize something in my life is less than it should be for me because I'm in Jesus. If I'm in Jesus, my life as it should be should mean I should be well when sickness comes. It means I should be prospering even when poverty comes. It means I should be happy when there's a reason out there to have sorrow. You see, my life should be as it should be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's not as it is in him at the right hand of God right now, then I need to change the way I'm thinking. I need to change the way I believe. So when God comes to lead you into repentance, all he's really trying to do is trying to get you to see life differently so you can get life on the best terms possible. I'm telling you, God's good. God is only good. God is for you. God's never against you. God is always going to make you the head. He's never going to make you the tail. God has delivered you from all the curse of the law. God has given you all of his promises. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times in my life I've looked around and said, man, I'm not living in those promises. There's a lot of times I've looked at my life and said, I think all my life is a bunch of curses. There's a bunch of times I looked at my life and said, you know, there's no way in the world that Jesus sitting on the throne at the right hand of God has this going on in his life, so I can't accept it. How does God give us the courage, you see, to be willing to be wrong? How does God give us the courage to be willing to surrender ideas? I tell you how, when you know he's good and he's only good, you're going to be willing to surrender your ideas. And you're going to open yourself up. And when you open yourself up to God, you're not just going to hear words. I'm going to tell you something. This is one of the things I am so thankful for. You see, because God works in our heart, this is so important. Our heart is the seat of who we are. The moment we become fixed or stable or immovable about something in our heart, I want you to know it's a done deal. It's yours. It's going to happen because that's what faith is. Faith is when you are immovable. And you become immovable when your mind and your heart are in absolute agreement about something. That's why it's so important that you renew your mind based on the finished work of Jesus, based on the promises of God, based on the new covenant, not the old covenant. Now, grace, which is God's ability, God's strength that works from your heart, grace works from our heart and makes us able. Able for what? Makes us able to be who God says we are by His power. Makes us able to do what God says we can do by His power. Makes us able to have and experience what He says is ours. How? By His power. So you see, when I'm just experiencing something in my mind, I'm not going to experience grace. I'm not going to experience God's strength, God's ability, because grace is God's strength, God's ability, God's capacity that works in my heart and comes by unmerited favor. Grace does not work in your brain. It doesn't work on the intellectual information that you have. So you see, we want to intellectually hear God. We want to hear God say words, and we want to understand those words, and we want those words to make sense in our world. Well, see, the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your ways acknowledge Him. That word acknowledge means to know Him. Know or experience God in all your ways. No matter what path that you're walking down, you need to be experiencing God down that path. Now listen, we're getting to the heart of this message right now. You know, in the book of John, Jesus talks about His sheep. He talks about how He's the gate, and you know, we come in through Him, and we come into the sheepfold. And see, I'm sure the sheepfold represents salvation, but I think it also represents the kingdom of God, that realm where we have God's protection, that realm where we have God's provision. And he says, now, anybody that tries to come in another way is a thief and a liar. Well, see, I don't know that he's talking so much about the devil there. He may be talking about believers who, instead of trying to come into the kingdom realm through Him, through the door of His life, the door of His resurrection, the door of His sacrifice, you see, we try to get in another way. We try to get in through our good works. We try to get in through obeying the law. We try to get in through fasting and praying. We try to get in through all of these legalistic, mystical, ritualistic ways. And it could be that when He says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that He's not just talking about the devil. He's talking about believers who try to make us think that the kingdom benefits and blessings can be had any other way than through the finished work of Jesus. But He says in there, He goes on to say, now, I have come that they might have life and have it to its fullest. I've come that they might have life and have it abundantly. I've come that they might have life to its fullest possible measure. And then he says something so incredible in the same passage. He says, first of all, now, my sheep hear my voice. But then he says something else that is even more incredible. He says, my sheep know my voice. And our capacity to abide in His hand, to abide in that place of His provision and safety, is not just based on hearing His voice. Because, see, hearing someone's voice is like recognizing it. And that word there in the Greek, it has several possible meanings, but I'm going to go with the most lightweight meaning. He says, my sheep, they recognize my voice. Now, recognizing and understanding is two different things. You see, I may have a relative that I recognize the tone of their voice when they speak, but if they're from another country and they speak a different language, even though I recognize their voice, I cannot perceive or understand what they're saying to me. You see, it's one thing to recognize. And see, I think there's a lot of people that recognize. And I hear this all the time. People say, man, I just feel like I'm on the verge of something. I just feel like something's about to happen in my life. That is the person that is recognizing. They're hearing. They know God is trying to say something to them. But how many of those people that recognize that God's trying to say something, that recognize they're on the verge of something, and nothing ever happens? You see, the problem is they think that if God's going to do something, he's going to force it on them. They think if God's going to do something, he's going to snap his fingers, speak the magic formula, and bam, it's going to happen with no participation on our part. Well, everything that God does in the new covenant, he does in, through, and with our heart. Everything that God does in the new covenant, he moves in our heart, and we cooperate with him. We follow him. We believe him. We trust him. This is a heart thing. See, I don't want to be somebody who all of my life is on the verge. I want to be somebody who knows his voice. I recognize his voice, and then I go to that place of intimacy with him. And in that place of intimacy, I start experiencing God. I start experiencing him with every sensory capacity that I have. You see, knowing something is about sensing. It's about the concept. It's about more than just getting intellectual words, you see. The person that's going to follow God and be empowered by grace is not the person that's getting an intellectual message of words in their brain. It's a person that has the sense. They have this deep-rooted confidence that goes beyond words, that passes all understanding. They have this deep knowing an absolute assurity of what God is doing and what their part is and what needs to come next. You see, it's this knowing God, this experiencing God, where we translate that into words that make sense in real life, and it really comes to pass. Listen, I've known so many people get so discouraged with life, so discouraged with God, because they're always on the verge. Well, it's time to get off the verge, and it's time to start knowing and experiencing God. Listen, I'm going to go into complete detail in this in my series, and I'm not just trying to say this series. I want to give you every tool that I can. I'll be talking about this next week, but I want you not just to recognize when God's speaking. I want you to know what God's saying. Thanks for sticking around for our mentoring moment. You know, these messages are no good to you if you don't find some way to put them into practice. Now listen, this week we're going to do something that is not so much what you're going to do right this moment, but you're going to get ready for what's coming next week. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down, I am on the verge of, and then just put you a little a colon right there. And then I want you to write down the kind of general things that you feel like you just have a sense are supposed to be happening in your life. You have a sense that maybe God is trying to do something in your life, and you may be real vague about it. You may not be sure, but I want you to write that down. Maybe one thing, maybe three or four things. And then I want you to kind of look back over the last couple of years, or maybe even back over your whole Christian life, and write down three or four or five of the major things that at some time or the other you thought, you know what, I felt like I was right on the verge of a breakthrough in. And being specific, I was on the verge of a financial breakthrough. I felt like I was really on the verge of finding my destiny or my call. I felt like I was on the verge of healing from this situation. Anything that you felt like that you were just on the verge of having to happen in your life, I want you to write this down the list. I want you to understand something. Please don't beat yourself up over this, but I want you to realize you were hearing or recognizing or sensing that God was trying to speak to you. But very probably because of maybe some wrong teaching or some wrong expectations, you were expecting for God to speak into your brain and give you verbal instructions about what to do or how to do it or to verbally tell you what was coming next. And now you're going to learn how to listen to God from your heart. So now that you've written those things down, I just want you to pray over them. And I want you to acknowledge to God, Father, these are things that I sensed that you were doing in my life. These are things that I sensed that you were saying in my life. And now I am opening my heart to know and experience how to move in those things. Now, what I'm about to tell you now is so incredibly important. There was a passage of Scripture that God just made so real to me where, because see, we have this tendency to think that once an opportunity is passed, it's over. Well, I got news for you. You never, ever, ever, ever lose an opportunity. Anything that God has ever been wanting to do in your life, He still wants to do in your life. And these opportunities that have gone by and you think you've missed them, the only reason that you feel that way is because that's what you believe. That's what you think. That's what your emotions are saying. But now this is where you go back and realize that I'm going to redeem the time. And that word redeem means to restore to the original point of opportunity. I got news for you. As long as you don't give up on that opportunity, God's not going to give up on that opportunity. And now that you're opening your heart, God's going to restore you to the original point of opportunity. So here's what I want you to add to your prayer. Father, I thank you that you are restoring me to my original opportunity. And I'm going to teach you how to get there.